This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 36 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. I've really enjoyed hosting this podcast over the last 15 or 16 months, and I feel like I say this a lot, but it's the truth. The response from you, our listeners, has been incredible, which is what makes my job that much more fun. And in fact, there's been such a groundswell under this podcast that we've decided to extend Frankly MSP into different areas. I mentioned briefly a couple of episodes ago that we're launching a Frankly MSP Live conference in 2020. I'll have more details on that in February. And we've also launched a Frankly MSP community. This is a place on LinkedIn where you can come hang out with your fellow MSPs and just talk about anything and everything to do with running or working in a managed service provider business. Over the last 36 episodes of this podcast, we've had some incredible guests on the show sharing advice and insights. But with a podcast, it's pretty much a one-way flow of information. With the community, we're hoping to bring you into the conversation a bit more. So if you hear an episode and have questions for the guest, head on over to LinkedIn and pop your questions into the community. We'll do our best to get experts in there to answer. But also, feel free to ask or share about anything on your mind. The community is yours to leverage, and it's open to any MSP or IT service provider. You do need to request to join, and we do that just to give you some privacy for your conversations. But yeah, come on out. We'd love to hear from you. I'll put a link in today's show notes to the group. You'll find the show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/036. But you can also just search on LinkedIn for Frankly MSP Community and the group should pop up. All right. Well, today on the show, I'm joined by DJ Foreman, co-founder and owner of an MSP based in the California Bay Area called iTeek. DJ's here to tell the story of how his firm transitioned from almost exclusively breakfix to 100% managed services. It took 2 years to make that transition, and as you'll hear, it was a painful process, but DJ says totally worth it. That's later in the show. First, our new One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business. Today, we've got Jamie Warner from eNerds based in Sydney, Australia. This is an excerpt from Frankly MSP episode 29.
One of the things that's set our MSP apart in terms of growth is a singular focus on signing up new support deals. In my view, a customer is not a customer unless they're paying me a monthly fee for support. We're not in the market to run around trying to find deals to upgrade networks and sell internet connections or phone systems. I wanted to focus, and this is what I believe should be the case, is that you focus on the most profitable line item in your business as the first thing that you're selling to market. So we sell the managed support, and then after that, that's where we sell internet, you do your procurement, you do your managed services around Office 365 and antivirus and backup and DR and all that sort of stuff. Those are ancillary services to the core product. But I would put it to you that you just have that singular focus on the core product that it's the most profitable, which it has to be managed support. That is the most profitable. And you will find that with that focus, you will start to grow and grow and grow.
What's your one thing? Was there a book you read or a process you implemented that really changed things for you? Maybe a speaker you saw or a tactic you tried had an impact. Let us know. Tell us about your one thing in a voice memo and email the recording to franklymsp@avic.com. Not only could you be podcast famous by being featured on this show, I'll also send you a fresh Frankly MSP t-shirt. That email address again for sending your one thing voice recording is franklymsp@avic.com.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Now we come to my interview with DJ Foreman of iTeek. DJ walks us through the changes and challenges his MSP faced with staffing, tooling, pricing, and a whole lot more when iTeek made the shift from breakfix to managed services. Hey, DJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about how you moved a bunch of clients from breakfix to managed services. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit of the backstory of iTeek and how it got started, because that's really relevant to the conversation.
iTeek was formed out of two separate companies, myself and my partner. We both had a company, mine was in the North Bay and his was in the South Bay. And we both started in the old breakfix time and materials world with a couple clients that we were beginning to transition to managed services and flat rates and all that good stuff. But we were having some difficulties. We worked on a project together and decided to join forces and make one company and combine all of our clients, all of our technical assets, and then try to convert everybody.
So what were some of the difficulties you were having trying to move clients away from break-fix?
The model of a flat rate service model is certainly not new. It was new to the IT world, and people all had the perception that when it breaks, I'll call somebody, just like you would for when you turn on a light switch. The only time you're going to call your electrician is when that happens. And that perception was fatally flawed as we started to see some very advanced hacking attempts and successes in many cases, and all types of really nasty security issues that were going around that required constant monitoring and care. And so you get to this point where it's really just not feasible anymore to have one model and the other at the same time. You just can't staff that way properly. And you can't always run out to the site every time there's a minor security incident. You need to be able to remotely handle these things.
So you each had a largely break fix business that you've merged into this single company with the goal of moving everyone or most everyone to managed services. Did you each bring your staff with you?
We did. We both brought in our staff, kept everybody. As a matter of fact, other than one person, everyone who was with us then is with us today. And it's been, gosh, 6-7 years now.
So that's interesting because you're saying that servicing a break-fix client is different than servicing a managed services client. So were there any challenges for your staff in making that shift?
Oh, goodness, yes. That was probably one of the steepest challenges is everyone was used to having to provide your proof, aka your notes, into some form, either an email form or a ticket form if you were ahead of the curve back in those days, and then get that approved by the client. The tech on site made a lot of decisions, very cowboy, because they're right there in front of the client. They're the ones that don't get paid if they don't put in the time. And so it was this really interesting incentive. It created what's, I think, in the auto industry commonly known as book time, where someone would say, this takes 10 hours, but I can do it in 5, but I'm still billing for 10. And that was kind of the mentality of a lot of techs, and breaking them from that to instead going to work as much as you needed to, regardless if it was 15 minutes or 15 hours, and not thinking about your time and how much you're going to bill a client. That's a completely different mindset. It was very difficult for the technicians.
How did you go about helping them change that mindset?
Well, someone I used to work with used to have this famous saying. He said, trust me, I've done the research. Well, that didn't fly, obviously. People won't do anything unless they believe in it. And so we were very evangelical about it within the business and explaining how it was better for everybody. And what we found is that when we started creating little graphs saying, here's the amount of time you spend, here's how much pay you get, here's the cost of the customer, we actually used the same method to discuss this with our clients to say, look, here's how much you're spending in T&M. This month it's 5,000. This month it's 1,000. You know, and then explaining the whole process of why flat rate's better. We did the exact opposite. We turned the tables on the techs. It took a little time, but they clicked. They eventually got it. And it was just a lot of training from the various RMM and PSA vendors that we were using. Using a lot of their built-in training was very helpful.
Let's talk about the before and after with your staff. Did you see any benefits in terms of how much they're motivated or how happy they are making the move?
Absolutely. I think that once people really got used to it and really started living it every day, it kind of was a release of pressure, because using all of the tools that are available, like OVIC, we can streamline a lot of these processes and create repeatable outcomes, so that if one tech is able to do a certain task and he's on vacation, sick, whatever the case may be, any other tech should be able to pick up right where they left off. And adopting all of these tools was key in doing that, because then everyone's using kind of a common platform, if you will. And then some tools, better than others, address that issue because of their ease of use.
Now, are you seeing benefits? So you would say it takes the pressure off the techs. I would imagine that they're on call a little less than they used to be, because they're doing normal maintenance during the workday as opposed to responding off the hop to things that are happening around the clock.
Exactly. Eliminating that one-on-one emergency knee-jerk contact, text messages, phone calls, emails directly to the tech. Instead, when you consolidate all these and then have them managed and dispatched in a central fashion. And that can take a lot of different forms, either physically, people in an office, remote stuff. There's all kinds of options there. And I would say that there is no one size fits all. That's for sure. You have to tailor it to your business model. But yes.
And now going forward, I know that you're currently recruiting for new techs. Are you finding that it's easier to hire for managed services business than it was for Breakfix because of those advantages?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm 50-50 on that. When I find the right technician, absolutely, because then there's a structure here. There's an environment that they can come in and go through an onboarding process that's the same for everybody. It's very simple. It's very logical. And there's no variance. We don't have to pick the brain. I like to say there's two kinds of technicians, really. There's the kind that hoards their technical knowledge, their special knowledge, and they think that that's what makes them special. And when you go to MSP, you have to switch that because you're not a consultant lone gunman. Instead, now you have to switch to the mindset of the technical special knowledge that you have is most useful when you're able to put it into a documented format that you share with your team.
Looking at the client side of things, you touched on doing some education with them about the benefits of managed services. Did you get a lot of pushback?
You know, initially we did. We struggled a little bit with how to present that. First, we came in and tried to explain why it was better and do some made up numbers. And that had marginal success. That was very much dependent on the relationship. If you were already in the trusted advisor zone where they no longer ask you how much something is, but they just ask you what to buy, then those conversions are far simpler. But for those that really just are a little bit less passionate or maybe there's not as tight of a relationship there, it was really important to look historically at the spend over a period of time and present that in comparison to a flat rate service, and then use the value adds that you can accomplish with a value added service by using some of the cool MSP tools, other vendors that are out there.
And did you lose any clients along the way?
We didn't lose any, actually. We didn't lose a single one. Well, actually, that's not 100% true. We did lose two, but we didn't lose them in the process of them saying, well, we don't want to do business with them anymore. They actually went out of business. In the spirit of fairness, they also did not convert and were not going to convert, which meant that even if they didn't go out of business, we would have had to, as they say, fire that customer, I suppose. It's a little, maybe it has a negative connotation, but you know, we simply, our business model wouldn't support it anymore.
And so how long did that whole process take of, you know, starting the company with All Break Fix and then moving over to managed services?
That took nearly 2 years.
Wow. And did you have a phased approach or?
Absolutely.
How did you roll that out?
Very situational. You have to address the numbers in a way that explains it properly. If someone is utilizing you at 10% of their normal spend for 6 months, but then there's an event that happens where they're going to ramp it up in the last 6 months, maybe that comparison sometimes doesn't look that good unless you present it over long term. And that's actually the reason why it took a little bit longer for some than others, because to make the point clear with actual numbers, it took a little bit of time. We had to collect all that information, and we didn't always do that in the right way before.
How did you handle that transition time when some of your clients would have still been Breakfix and some would be on the new managed services model? Did you split your team and dedicate them to different sides, or how did that work?
No, actually, there's a thing that they call it Iron Man football, or I think even in basketball, my kids are all playing on these collegiate teams and school teams. And they say that whenever there's no, it's just the five people on a basketball team playing and they have to play the whole game. And so that's kind of what we had to do. We had to do Iron Man IT. It was very, very, very difficult. There was a lot of extra hours put in. There was a little added expense. But one of the things that helped with that was converting our employees over from hourly to salaried. Obviously, you can't do that with everybody, but for the key people and management personnel, that was incredibly useful. They still have to do the time entry and all that, but it allows them to slightly disassociate the pressure and the stress of having to say in your head, I'm not going to get paid unless I put this in. That's an entirely different stress than I need to put this in so that the customer knows what we're doing and so that management knows what we're doing. It's really the same stress, and you might say that it's shifting the stress onto the business owner, but it's lonely at the top. What can I tell you?
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
It sounds like there were a bunch of things that had to change, right? So same staff, but they had to shift their mindset. Sounds like there were some salary and financial changes made.
Yes.
Sounds like you had to bring on some new tools like the RMM and PSA you mentioned.
Yes.
Anything else?
As well as AVIC, AVIC and IT Glue. That's our core infrastructure. When I, and I'm shopping for one right now, when I'm looking for a tech, the tools that we very highly recommend and isn't always possible to find, the MSP tech pool is a little thin at the moment, and especially in California, Bay Area. But those are the tools. We say, if you know AVIC, fantastic, huge plus. That's going to bring you places at ITeek. If you know IT Glue, fantastic. ConnectWise, automate and manage, good stuff. There's lots of other vendors out there. And if you have experience with any of those other vendors, we can get you rolling with ConnectWise fast.
Any other major changes that you needed to make to your business to handle this new model?
A whole new pricing structure and productization of what we offer. One of the mistakes that we first made was trying to productize every last tool that we used. And that's actually quite difficult to do. You have to have multiple value proposition conversations with the client. It's multiple interactions. And it gets a little confusing. And so we found that bundling was incredibly important. So your ROI can be a little interesting to calculate, because if you roll these tools out to all of your clients, regardless of whether or not they're technically paying for it as a line item, you get a cost savings, an operational efficiency savings by using those tools. So it benefits you regardless. And so it was really important for us to change our pricing model to accommodate that. So that way we didn't have to try to sell these tools. We didn't have to say, well, for this much extra, we'll document everything. Well, no, that's ridiculous. That's like, everything needs to be all inclusive. And I would say is the biggest pitfall to not fall into is don't have too many categories. Bundle it and make the pricing simple. They don't want to hear about the details necessarily. I mean, sometimes you do. It depends on the client, right? There's always those cases where you talk to people who are very geeky, or you have an IT contact who's already on staff and you're in an augmentive mode. But for the most part, they just want to hear you say, it's going to be safe, it's going to be secure, we're going to be here for you when you call us.
And so you made that mistake initially. You were sort of breaking it out tool by tool or service by service.
Right, because we get so impressed with those tools, we just assume that everyone else will also be impressed.
And how did you, I assume you then switched them at some point over to an all-in model?
Yes. Well, when we changed, what we did is we had to make a couple iterations to our pricing changes. So it took us about 3 passes before we got it right. The interesting part is once we had already converted people to the MSP plan, having those conversations about changes to the plan was so much simpler. There was no longer the discussion of T&M and firefighting mode. Like, that didn't even enter into their minds. So I would say that first jump is very difficult. But after that, you can make little modifying tweaks here and there. Maybe add a couple layers to the onion, but still keep it relatively straightforward.
Any other regrets in the way things played out? Would you do anything else differently if you had to do it over again?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I would more redundancy. I would build in more technical redundancy through relationships with various vendors who offer NOC and SOC services. Maybe not forever long-term, but in the beginning.
Why in the beginning?
Because it was so much of an insane mad dash to accomplish all of our service deliverables while we were still kind of partial T&M and partial monthly. There was very little time for projects and for some of the details of, you know, things that aren't difficult, but they take quite a bit of time, like going through all of your backups and going through all of your endpoint security and all that stuff that you want to just make sure is up and running. Yes, they're centrally managed in one console, but it still takes a little time to read through the console when you've got a few thousand endpoints.
So if I'm hearing you, it was a bit of a painful process over the last couple of years, but now you're there looking back. Is it worth it?
Oh gosh, it's night and day, honestly. The scalability of the company is orders of magnitude better and more scalable. We could bring in twice our current headcount of clients and be able to do it with not too much. I mean, finding the techs is always the challenge, but let's assume that there's this limitless pool of just the right technician. The tools allow us to scale up almost instantly. We brought on, in a span of 1 month, we had an acquisition, and I'm going to say it was about 700 new clients, and we got them all onboarded and online and working and totally functional within a couple of weeks.
Wow. That's fantastic.
It was very impressive. And I'd like to say it's because we're so amazing and, you know, maybe we are, but really it's the tooling. Certainly there's the secret sauce element, but being able to have everyone in the right mindset so that you pass work off one person to the next, it's just immeasurably useful.
So if you were talking to a fellow IT service provider who is in that break fix world right now and wants to shift but doesn't know where to start, what would be your advice for how they should get going?
Well, there's a lot of different groups out there, a lot of different vendors. I would say the smartest thing to do is pick your favorite and go to their conference. Meet all the other MSPs, sit down in all the breakout groups, and just start talking to people, because you hear a lot of various vendors touting very specific ways to grow your MSP and very specific ways to do your marketing. But you have to allow for your own flavor. There's certain business mechanisms and processes that are tried and true and should be applied and used. But when it comes to the MSP side, there's quite a bit of flexibility. As an example, let's say in some smaller city in the Midwest, we meet some MSPs similar size to us, and they say, hey, we've got two clients in our city. Then we start talking about marketing and how we each do it differently. And I have to laugh. And I'm like, man, we've got two competitors on our block. How do you even have this discussion? So that's what we found, is that one of the best things to do is to get to these big conferences, meet the kind of people who are the same size as you, similar kind of region, similar population density, and then have those discussions with them and dial it in from there, because your cost of labor is going to be wildly different than mine is going to be here in the Bay Area.
Thanks so much for chatting with us today, DJ. It's been really interesting.
Thank you for having me. This was super fun.
That was DJ Foreman, co-founder and CTO of iTeek. If you want to get in touch with DJ, I'll put his contact info in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/036. If you have questions for DJ, hop on over to the new Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn and post them there. Remember to send in your one thing recordings to franklymsp@avik.com to be featured on an upcoming episode. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.